thank you for the sound prayers and the song service. It was very uplifting to me. And to say that I'm happy to be here with you is an understatement. However, I would like to ask that you continue to pray for me the time I stand before you, because my mind is a little bit distracted for some reason, more so than ever. And so I ask and beg you for your prayers this morning the time I stand before you. So I want to do just a little bit of preliminary work right here, because I see a lot of young kids in here and I have a stern face. Okay, so you children, I want to make sure that you know that I am happy. I'm happy to be here, and please don't look into that too much. Also, I want to tell the parents, if the kids get too loud and all that, you just don't get offended, don't get worried, any of that. If you have a preacher that gets worried about the children screaming and crying in church, we'll get rid of the preacher, keep the kids. I want to ask this morning that you look over that, okay? You look over that. And the reason I say that is I've been in churches where there is no crying from children. There's no sounds of new children coming and coming up in the church. And I'm going to tell you, I would much rather hear them children crying in the church house. You look over that this morning if you hear it. This morning my mind goes to a subject that for many, many years I found as a child, as a young fellow growing up in other denominations, and even as I came to the Primitive Baptist, I found it very difficult to understand. You see, I found that it gets complicated, and it usually is complicated by men. When I go to the Bible and I began to see the work of God from creation unto the end, when he returns to get his bride and his children, there is a simplicity that goes through from the beginning all the way to the end. You have a sovereign God that knew before time all things that would occur, even the sin of men. And yet, that same sovereign God chose to love. In a nutshell, if you don't hear anything I say this morning, stamp that in your memory, little child of God, and understand that he knew you before time even existed in eternity, and he still chose to love you. Now, for some people, that doesn't mean a whole lot. When I was young, I did not understand where I stood in contrast to a three times holy God. Did you? I mean, when I was a little young fella and I would do something wrong that my parents told me was wrong, I didn't see what was wrong with it. When I took the candy out of the candy store, put it in my pocket and tried to walk out the store with it, I didn't see a thing wrong with it. I wanted it. It was there. My parents had other ideas. And I had to apologize. I had to bring that back and bring it to the individual that was standing there and confess. You see, a lot of times young Christians don't realize how in deep we are as men. I want to tell you that because the subject that I'm talking about is forgiveness. And you see, for you or I to ask for forgiveness, we have to first understand that there was an offense. And I find that nowadays many people, one, they don't care that they offend, and number two, they don't even understand that they've offended God. They don't understand that even the very existence of this flesh and blood that is here in the picture of Adam is an offense unto God. By one man's sin. By one man's sin. Now, that being said, that same God that understood this, knew this, and had a plan for it, worked that plan. That plan is done through the Lord Jesus Christ, all the way up into promise, to fulfillment. The only thing lacking, little child of God, is for Daddy to come get his children. That's all that's left. Wait a minute, Brother Shane. Then why are we to confess our sins one to another? Why then, if Christ took all of the sin of the world, as the scripture says, upon his back, and that he saved his children, then why then do I feel the way I feel when I sleep? Why then am I chastised? You see how confusing forgiveness is? To the natural mind, it is very confusing. But according to Scripture, it's very simple. I want to take you to the Old Testament for just a little while as we go through this. And brethren, sisters, little children, the reason I want to touch on this is because I'm told in Scripture that one of the jobs of the elders is to help you with your joy. A helper of joy. I want your joy to be full when you leave. So we're going to go low for a little while before we come high. We're going to stay in the trenches where we are with Adam for just a little bit before we get up high with Christ, okay? You bear with me. Let's go to Genesis chapter 50. I want to take you to the life of Joseph, his brothers, and their old dad. I want to set the stage for a moment. Old daddy has passed away. Dad's gone. And now Joseph and his brothers are left alone in Egypt with Joseph as the second in command of Egypt. Well, you say that's a good thing, Brother Shane. Well, it should be. It should be. But you see, up until this point, you have to remember what the brothers did to Joseph. I mean, one of the things I love about the Bible, you know, people say, you know, the Bible isn't true, the Bible is this, the Bible is that. Brethren, let me tell you, the Bible tells all about its characters, the good and the bad. You ever notice that? I mean, the good and the bad is just outfolded right there in front of you. You get to see even the intents of their hearts. And brethren, when you read about Joseph's brother, I don't believe you can get more wicked than what they were pulling. They betrayed him. They lied to him. They lied about him. They even sold him into slavery. Placed him in a pit. What a loving family. Ought to be on Jerry Springer. You think you got problems in your family, brother, sister. There were some problems in that family. You know what one of the issues was? You had one out of the bunch that was showing the blessing of God over the other ones, and there was some envy and strife going on. Surprisingly, old dad was silent about it and let it happen. You know, of course, till Joseph kind of pointed out that he was going to be part of that too, that blessing. And then dad had to rebuke him a little bit, you know. Problems in the family. Now dad has passed away. All of those things are coming back up because Joseph has restored himself unto his brothers. Notice what I said. The brothers did not restore them unto Joseph. Joseph restored him to his brothers. His brothers didn't even know who he was. His brothers arrived on the scene in Egypt and had no clue who the man was that was introducing himself to them. Brother, we discussed that this morning. You see, I want you to remember that God produces the introductions to his children. No man cometh unto the Father but by who? Jesus. And no man can come unto him except the Father first draw him. You see how that works? Very simple. Very simple. Joseph has now restored himself to his brothers all of the weeping and gnashing of teeth is over. He's cried. He's produced everything in the kingdom for his family, even old dad. And the prophecy has been fulfilled. Joseph has been raised up to a higher level than his entire family. He's even heard the apology of his brothers. And Joseph has given them a promise. I'm not going to deal with you treacherously. I forgive you. But there's a problem. Now that Dad has passed away, we see in verse 15 of chapter 50, it says, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure, that means perhaps, hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. I want to pause there for a moment. I want you to notice what that word is, peradventure. That means perhaps. How many of you have worried yourself sick over something that didn't even happen? I'll go ahead and raise my hand. I have. Many, many times in this life, we go through things in life that the Lord has already taken care of, already shown us he's got, already produced all the truth we need to walk in his promise, and yet, peradventure, perhaps, maybe God won't. Maybe this will happen. Maybe that will happen. All the way to the point where a child of God will literally question the love of Christ and God the Father to them. Brother Shane, how is that possible? You better get out of these four walls. You better talk to some folks. I come into contact with people sometimes that I can see the Spirit of God in them. I can see the fruit of God in them. I can see the Spirit all over them, which is testament of the work of Christ upon their life. And yet, they make the statement. How could God love? I don't think God loves them. A lot of that has to do with the doctrine they've been taught. Don't get me wrong. But the truth of the matter is, they're still children of God walking around in this earth of sin and sorrow with all of that at the forefront of their mind. Perhaps. Perhaps. A child of God would do very well to trust in God no matter what happens, no matter what befalls you, and no matter what the devil throws in your face. From past, present, or future. The fear that these brothers have says that he will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. I want you to notice the fear. The fear is not exactly what they did, the guilt, the shame of it, all of the thing that was wrong about what they did. The fear is that it would be counted back on top of their head by their brother. You see that? Unfortunately, as children, and even as men and sisters, I don't want to leave y'all out. Sometimes we're more concerned about the chastisement than we are the actual event, the error, so to speak. The sin. Brother, we were talking about this morning about things that have changed in my lifetime and yours. One of the things that I have seen in my little bitty lifetime of 50 some odd years is now it does not appear to be any shame whatsoever on the face of the planet outside the church. Men are openly sinning against the throne of God and even his people. Doing the same thing, and there's no shame. There's an oh well attitude. Nothing new under the sun. Joseph's brothers are in the same situation. So they go to Joseph. Verse 16 says, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying. First off, notice what they did. They themselves did not show up to Joseph. They were so afraid that they sent a messenger instead of going themselves. Brother Shane, how does that apply to us today? Oh, I'm getting there. You see, because I'll have somebody come to me and say, Brother Shane, can you pray for me? Can you pray for me? Yeah, I can pray for you, brother, sister. But let me ask you something. When's the last time you went to the throne? Oh, brother, he don't hear my prayers. Are you sure? Because this Bible tells me that if you are a child of God, he knows what you're in need of before you even ask him. I don't mind praying for you, brother. I don't mind praying for you, sister, little child of God. I do not mind praying for you at all. But the first question I have is, are you going through what you're supposed to be going through? You going to the throne of grace. Now then, Joseph's brothers say to this messenger, go to Joseph and tell them, remind them, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. Notice the message. You know, Dad said you're supposed to forgive us. Dad said all is well. Just want to remind you. I mean, I want to remind you, brethren, this is how much they're concerned about it. Abraham has barely got cold, the Bible. And they're already sending a messenger to the brothers. What kind of selfish brothers are that? I mean, won't even let old Joseph mourn his father. They're worried about themselves. Brother Shane, we don't see that today. Oh, yeah. Some of you older folks, you've probably been around long enough to see what I call in a family sometimes. You'll see them, I call them buzzards. When somebody's about to pass away, you know, they're over there circling. I mean, they're circling, waiting. They just can't wait to get their hands on what Dad's got. From cousins to uncles to sisters, you name it. And they're willing to allow those things to cause so much friction, so much trouble, and so much strife that it'll split a family right down the middle. And I've heard tell and read stories that it'll even split a church if you allow it. That ought to be a shame. The Bible tells me I'm supposed to let my brother have more than me and be happy about it. I'm supposed to want my brethren to succeed even above me. Wait a minute, Brother Shane, that's taking morsels of food out of my own children's mouth, is it? I mean, I can turn sideways and show you I'm not hurting for food. I need to do better about it. How about you? You know, I'm not growing up anymore. I'm growing out. I wish I could grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as fast as I'm growing out. How about you? Joseph's brothers are in the epitome of depravity. They're walking in the flesh instead of the spirit. I want you to notice that. How do I know that? Because Paul tells me there is therefore now, right now, as you sit in the pew, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, walking not after the what? Flesh, but after the Spirit. You see, if they were walking in the Spirit, they wouldn't feel the condemnation. You get that? I want you to notice what this messenger brings to him and how Joseph responds in 17. He says, and Joseph wept when they spake unto it. Wept. wept. Now, brethren, I want to just go ahead and tell you, there have been some experiences in my life. That's all I know to go off of, is experience. You know, I get told sometimes, Brother Shane, you use your family a lot, you use your children a lot, you use your relationship with your wife a lot. That's all I know, brethren. That's all I have to go off on, is the relationship and the experiences that I have with the Scripture. It makes it real to me. And one of the things I've noticed is, a lot of times with families and children, and the whole core of a family is all wrapped around that one word, forgiveness. Forgiveness. I want you to notice what the word means. I'm going to throw some other words that sound similar. Forgiveness for knowledge. You catch that? Forgiveness for knowledge. I'm going to throw another one. For new. Forgiveness. I want you, as a child of God, to get it in your mind, in your spirit, this new creature that's walking in Christ Jesus in the Spirit, that in your family, from wife to husband to child to outside the church to inside the church, people are going to hurt you. They're going to hurt you. Some of them without knowledge, without understanding, without even realizing, they hurt you. Here's the number one issue with all of that in the house, in the home, all slated around forgiveness. Authority. Authority. Brother Shane, what do you mean by that? What I mean by that, I'm going to go back to my experience as a little child. You know, there were some things that my daddy did in our house I didn't agree with. I mean, they hurt my feelings as a little child. And I held it against my dad for many, many, many years. That was until I started reading this Bible. And when I started reading this Bible, I began to understand, number one, I'm no better than he is. Uh-oh. Now we're getting down to the limits, aren't we? We're getting personal. I'm no better than the man that offended me. Now we're all on even ground. One's not higher than the other. You see how that works? The second thing I began to realize is, this scripture tells me that he chastised me as he thought right, as Paul says. He led the household with the light that he had at the time. He did the things in which he thought were necessary for my success, my teaching, my guidance, and my direction. And the number one thing that began to set upon me is that he was the one that was given authority for it. In other words, little child of God, what I'm telling you is, there was no offense. He was right. Wait a minute, Brother Shane. You just said you didn't agree with him. I didn't agree with him. And chances are, I might have handled things differently. However, he was the one that was given the authority and the responsibility to do it. My job as a child was to honor my mother and father, that my days might be long upon earth. Now I'm left in a state where I'm the one that should be going to my parents and saying, I need forgiveness. Forgiveness. I held this against you. I held this so tightly that I would not allow any agreement between us. Now, who's in the wrong? Husbands are given a level of authority in the home, and sometimes the wife does not agree. And forgiveness is sought after. Sisters, I hate to tell you, but sometimes the brother is doing what he thinks is right. And if he is doing what he thinks is right, he's standing on this word. He's not standing on anything else. Anything and everything is shifting sand save Jesus Christ and the word that he put forth. So forgiveness is not really required. I've been told sometimes out in public, at work sometimes, but Brother Shane, what you said was right. But you could have said it a little better. Brethren, show me that where Jesus tells that to the disciples. Show me that in Jesus' life alone, because what I find is something far different. What I find is the disciples going to Jesus, Lord, you have offended the scribes, the Pharisees. You know what he said? Let them alone. In other words, let them be offended. The blind will lead the blind into the ditch. You see, for some reason, back in, probably in the 30s, when all these splits started happening, the idea became that we need to preserve truth in a manner that is with milk and honey. And yes, the Bible tells me that words of milk and honey are blessed, they are pure, they are to be sought after, and amen. But brethren, this word also tells me that after the third admonition, I'm supposed to treat that fellow as a heretic. Now, which one's which? Brethren, you got to divide the word of truth. That means there's something on both sides of the blade, you see. There's negative and positive on all things. But Brother Shane, that's kind of harsh. That's kind of negative. Go outside and everybody take your negative post off on your battery. Let's see if y'all get home. It's pretty important. It's pretty important. So therefore, when we come into contact with each other, even in our homes, there's going to be offense. Because the milk and honey words don't always get what's required. I know in my mom and dad's home, my mother would try so diligently to be so sweet and nice about it. No, don't do this. Don't do that. You know, you just wait till your daddy gets home. You just wait till your daddy gets home. And brethren, I'll just go ahead and tell you, I had 2 weeks to wait. My dad worked offshore every 2 weeks. And as my little gray matter works, I would forget that there was even an offense. You know who didn't forget? My daddy. And I can remember as being a child in my little bubble and just enjoying life in the middle of the floor, playing with things and doing what my mama said not do, and hearing those steps, those old wood steps, and the weight of almost 260 pounds, 6'4 man coming up a step. And the remembrance happened. Daddy's coming. Knees went to shaking. You know what I began to look for really, really quick? Forgiveness. Mercy. I had a hope that if I went to my mama that maybe, just maybe, she could just maybe stand in the gap. Just maybe. But you see, all the milk and honey had already flowed. Didn't help. Didn't work. They had to be chastised. Now, Brother Shane, you said that this forgiveness has already happened through Jesus Christ, and why would we be chastised over it? And why would we be looking at things the way we look at it? Well, we look at it that way, brother, because chastening is not joyous. Doesn't bring joy. Doesn't bring happiness. Brother, it brings the peaceable fruit of what? Righteousness. Righteousness. To me, it's one of the most important subjects to a child of God because it's one of the few things in this scripture that points to and proves that you are a child of God. You ever think of that? One of the main things in scripture that God himself manifests to man was this: if I'm chastening you, you're my son. Therefore, as a young man, I began to look back on my life when that truth presented itself, and I began to understand my daddy loved me above anything I ever imagined. He loved me. He forgave me, but the punishment was still there. I still had to deal with it. That's followed through scripture. You go to David and you see him with Bathsheba, and Nathan comes and says, "Thou art the man," and he reveals to David, "The sword will never leave your house." But wait a minute, I thought David was a man after God's own heart. I thought he was forgiven, all of these things. Brethren, he was, and amen. But Absalom still showed up. The chastisement and the effects of the sin were still there, present. So much so that the firstborn of that union passed away. I want to tell you, children of God, that's how dangerous your sin is. Therefore, when we sin willingly, we show forth that we are walking in the flesh, that we love this present world more than the things of God. And we ought to be ashamed of it. But not so much that we cannot go to the Father who has given us beautiful, beautiful promises. I'll take you to Psalms 130. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Some of these New Age folks out there are saying things like, you don't need to fear God. Brother, I don't know if we're reading the same Bible or not. I mean, where do you get that idea? Not only is he a three times God, he is holy God, he is a king. A king. To be feared. He is a father that is to be feared. Part of the problem with that is a lot of these New Agers and new Christian ideas have painted Jesus Christ as my little holy homeboy instead of a king and reigning king. And there's a difference. He is to be feared. And one of the reasons he's to be feared, revered, respected, is that there is forgiveness with him. And if he ever counted iniquities, there would be no children of God. But it says there is forgiveness with him. Why? Why? You know, some people get the idea that, you know, we sin, it's no big deal. I'm forgiven. Free grace. Free this, free that. You young folks, I want to remind you, there's nothing free from that perspective. Okay? Free health care, free this, free that. Somebody's paying for it somewhere. It's hitting mom and daddy's taxes. That's where it's coming from. And I will remind you that, yes, we have grace, and it was freely given, and it cost you nothing. But don't get it in your mind, little child of God, that your sin didn't cost him something. That error, that absolute abomination to God was placed upon the back of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he paid for every one of them from his children. Every thought, every deed, every not doing, every doing was placed upon his back and paid for. The mockery, The beard plucked from his face, struck in the face, spit on. And that's before he was ever placed to shackles and beaten with a cat of nine tails. And he still wasn't enough. Took his very life's blood to pay for every one of those sins. So yes, there is forgiveness. It's part of the new covenant. If you go to Jeremiah 31 and 34, it says, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." You want to know the most important event that ever happened on the face of the planet? Was the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord. Because that's where all of this from creation, from Adam unto you, that's where it was all handled. All of it. Made to be sin for us who had no sin. He had nothing to pay. No debt. And I want to remind you, child of God, when we say sin and we're talking about forgiveness, we're talking about trespasses. Sin. Many years ago, I heard the statement, "Well, you're going to have to forgive God for that. You're going to have to forgive God that, you know, that he didn't do what you said he needed to do or you prayed for." No, brother, you don't need to forgive God anything. What you need to do is submit to the idea that he is God. And that his ways are above ours. His thoughts above our thoughts. And once that occurs, you begin to understand that even the thought you just had was an abomination, and you're the one that needs to go to the Father and say, "Lord, please, please forgive me. Forgive me." Forgiveness, that means to give something before. Child of God, I want to remind you that as you go into your relationships with husband, with wife, with daddy, with mama, with sister, with brother, outside the church, inside the church, you need to keep this in mind. Get it in your mind that there will be offenses. And prepare your armor to take it. And then give them and hand them forgiveness. The picture of that is to have the forgiveness ready, already present, already in their hands before the offense. Do you see what I'm telling you? Because in the mind of God, when were you never forgiven? It was always there in his Son, Jesus Christ, ready. And the payment was already accepted. Grace pictured in his sacrifice, and he did it well. Now, Brother Shane, what does that mean for me? It means to you of the utmost importance, little child of God, on this account. Christ himself put a prescription or an algorithm for you new folks that are like code, or maybe mathematicians if you're out there. There's an equation out there that Christ gives the child of God pertaining to forgiveness. We're going to read it. Go over to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we find not the Lord's Prayer, but rather the prayer that he gave to us to pray. Notice what I said. This is not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found over in John chapter 17. That's where he prayed. He gives us this as an example to pray. How do I know? How many sins did Jesus have to ask forgiveness for? Anybody? We're not ready to account those to him, are we? Didn't think so. All right, now, this is the prayer that he gave us, and in the prayer there is an equation for every child of God. Take this home with you. Teach it to your children. Keep it on the tip of your tongue and the frontal lobe of your mind. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, O Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Sounds like he's already got a kingdom. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. As you just noticed in the very prayer, we're going to see some things that are against the will of God here. As it is in heaven, let it be done on earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Brethren, I want to remind you as we go just very quickly, that's not just talking about bunny bread at the supermarket. He's also talking about bread that you can't see. Spiritual bread, that manna from heaven. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So Brother Shane, that's talking about what I owe. If this brother owes me $20, I'm supposed to forgive that. No, sir. No, sir. How do I know that? Keep reading. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That just goes to show you that's a very short prayer. I'm guilty of, you know, praying for hours. I'm sorry. I'll go ahead and say it. I'm sorry. Very short prayer. Notice what he says. The very first thing that he brings up after making this epic statement of prayer and instruction, the very first thing he brings up, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, I'm going to go ahead and pause here because I've heard it said that, well, see there, Brother Shane, he's talking about becoming a child of God, and this, and I'm telling you, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. Notice what he says. He says, your Father. He's talking about a child of God already. Notice that. And I don't know about you, but there's nothing my children are going to be able to do to get away from the fact that I'm their dad. Can't be done. Now, I could disown them. I could go bonkers, lose my mind, and just write them off of the will. Does that change the fact they're my children? No, it doesn't. They'll dig my children up and me up 200 years from now. They'll look at the DNA and say, yep, that's the daddy right there. They can't deny me. I mean, we go out in town. I'm not even around. They'll be on the phone, and I'll hear somebody say, oh, you're Shane Arnold's youngin'. I marked them. It's all on their face. They can't get away from it. Would to God that I would walk in a manner in this low ground of sin and sorrow that I would reflect my Father in heaven. And maybe look like his Son, Jesus Christ, in me. He says, for if you forgive men their trespasses. Ladies, I'm not going to give you off the hook here. That means you too. He's talking about all of us. You're going to have to forgive. You see, if you want your joy to be full, you are going to have to forgive. Do you see that? If you go back over there to Genesis, I want to remind you of something. Joseph's daddy had already forgiven his sons. Daddies, you're going to have to forgive your sons. They may do some wicked things. Don't change the fact that they're your sons. That don't mean that you've got to buy into what they're doing. That don't mean that you've got to support them in their nastiness. But it does mean if you want your joy to be full, you're going to have to forgive. Stand your ground, but forgive them. Children, you're going to have to forgive all day. Got a friend of mine that took all of this stuff all the way to his daddy's grave, had to go to his daddy's grave and just let it all out, you know, let it all out. And brethren, I'm going to just submit it to you. If you're in that same boat, if old dad did you wrong, then go there to the grave. Just get it all out. Brother Shane, he's dead. Well, if he's a child of God, he's in heaven, and our God is the God of the living, not the dead, which means they're up there living. Forgive them. Forgive them. Get it out. Get it off of you. You see, the forgiveness says more about the man giving than the one receiving. Notice that. You see, it's easy to forgive somebody that might give you a little bit of something on the side. You ever notice that? I mean, I'm in the world of business, so I do business with people all the time, you know. And hey, sometimes we mess up. We're human. And I'll go in and ask forgiveness. Oh, yeah, sure, no problem. But hey, by the way, can we do this or that, this, that? Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. Sure. Try to forgive somebody that can't repay the debt. That's hard, brother. That's hard. Wives, you're going to have to forgive your husbands. Because I'm going to go ahead and tell you, as a husband, he can't repay the debt. He don't even know where to start. We're that simple. We don't know. Oblivious to everything around us. We can't even see the ketchup in the refrigerator. You're going to have to forgive them. You're going to have to forgive them. Church members, you're going to have to forgive the men and women sitting in the church. Because you see, as we come together as the body of Christ, the feet, the hands, all of that, we drag this old man with us. And we forget to put on the new. Would to God that every child of God would remember that. So much so that we're able to kneel down in prayer, ask forgiveness from a loving Father who has already provided all that is required for that forgiveness. All the way down to the little child of God in the church that we need to forgive for whatever they've done. You see, the neat thing about forgiveness, I can forgive you and you not even know it. You know that? I don't have to make fanfare out of it. I don't have to post it on social media. I don't have to make a big deal about it in front of the church. I can kneel down and say, God, help me, a sinner, in need of forgiveness and in need to forgive. You want joy in your life? Follow this. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And part of that is in forgiveness. I hope and pray that something that was said this morning brings joy to you and your joy is full this morning. Thank you for your kind attention, brother. We'll turn it back over to you.